Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most.
Whether it's reactions,
matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about.
Your football talk, your way.
Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty here on this Friday. I'm down in Eugene. Will Ortner back up in the studios holding down the ship. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, or youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Party on, you party animals on YouTube. This is my last show of the year. Because I'm heading down to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl. Oregon, Ohio State coming up on New Year's Day in the college football playoff quarterfinals, a rematch of an October 12th game here in Eugene where the Ducks held off Ohio State 32-31, an all-timer in an incredible game. And as I was going through and just kind of looking up the numbers on, you know, they always say it's hard to beat a great team twice. And it is. I mean, it is incredibly difficult to beat a great team two times in one season. Some from the Dayton Daily News popped up. And this newspaper was founded in 1898 in Ohio. It was founded after the last time Ohio State lost two games in the same season to the same team. The last time the Ohio State Buckeyes lost to the same team twice in a season was in 1894 to Wittenberg College.
Yeah, they're a power, aren't they?
That's a very long time. But when you think about it, it's really hard to face the same team twice, especially in the Big Ten, because when they had their two divisions, remember when they called them the Leaders and the Legends Division?
Who could forget?
It was so widely mocked and ridiculed that they said, we're going to change that to East and West. It was a top-heavy East and West, right? To where you didn't have a lot of rematches because Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State were all on the same side, right? So finding those rematches, really hard to do. And Ohio State's been really damn good at football. That's the other part of this, is that you don't have very often where Ohio State loses two times to the same team in a year. But going back to 1894, that's 130 years ago. That is so long ago. It's so long ago. In fact, the Dayton Daily News says touchdowns were worth 4 points, field goals worth 5, and extra points were worth 2 points.
Gotta love inflation.
Back then, well, deflation on the field goals. Field goals went from 5 to 3 points. They said, we want less kickers. Extra points, 2 points? They're like, no, we don't want the kickers to mean this much. We're going to give touchdowns 6 points. that just puts it into perspective how long it's been since Ohio State has lost twice to the same team in a season. But as we sit there and we look at recently in college football, right, just this year, we have Georgia in Texas playing two times. Mm-hmm. And Georgia came out on the right side of that both times. Last year, Oregon and Washington, they played two times in the same season. I think in both of these instances, we can say all four teams, great teams. And the same team won in both of those games. Historically speaking, you do see more splits in the same matchup twice in a season. But recently, you've seen actually the same team win in two of the most high-profile and marquee matchups that we've seen. But as it pertains to Oregon and Ohio State, that game that we had here on October 12th was an all-timer. I mean, it was one of the best games in the history of Autzen Stadium. It was a back-and-forth affair. You had lead change after lead change. You had two heavyweights swinging and throwing their best shot. And I think as you look at this game, the thing that's going to intrigue me the most is, and we've talked about this ad nauseum with Ohio State, is their offensive line. Because in that game against Oregon, they lose their starting left tackle, and they run the ball for under 2 yards per carry after that. You fast forward, they also lose their starting center for the season in practice with a ruptured Achilles. And those are two massive injuries. Two most important positions on your offensive line. You lost both of those guys. And they are not going to be in the Rose Bowl, and they're not going to be suiting up again. On the flip side of that, you look at Oregon and their defensive line. I think we have seen the best football from the defensive line since that Ohio State game, right? Where you look at Jordan Birch did not play in that game. And we saw what it has meant to Mateo Uiagalelei and kind of his rise as one of the preeminent pass rushers in the Big Ten since that game. Derek Harmon and Jamari Caldwell, I think we forget how early in the season that was of them still getting used to, and I thought what we've seen out of Derek Harmon is one of the most dominant interior defensive linemen in college football. And that matchup with Ohio State's offensive line, which looked absolutely incredible against Tennessee, and Oregon in their defensive line, that is going to be the telling matchup in this game.
Yeah, when I look at this one, the reason why I feel pretty confident about Oregon coming out on top in this game is because of that D-line matchup. Like, Oregon was the weaker opponent in the D-line O-line matchup in the last game. Ohio State full strength, Oregon obviously not. Mateo Uiagalelei then goes out and dominates your left tackle. And I guess I shouldn't say dominates, but he dominates in key spots. When Oregon needed a key third down stop, who's the one that won their one-on-one matchup? It was Uiagalelei, and he gets that big stop on Judkins, and that forces an Ohio State punt early in that second half. Later on, when you needed a sack, who's the one guy who got to Will Howard? Mateo Uiagalelei, and he did it against that left tackle. Now you're getting the third string left tackle. You're going to have Harmon, who, by the way, had maybe the most impressive play you've ever seen out of a D lineman, save for Jadeveon Clowney when he was taken on Michigan in the Outback Bowl, where he literally just comes in. He was going to get double teamed on that play. Like, if you go back, you watch the All 22, Derek Harmon is supposed to be double teamed on that play. He beats both guys, gets into the backfield, and still has the wherewithal to strip the ball while he's laying an absolute licking on that running back. And then the other thing about it, you know, because now you're down your top center, you're down to your third string left tackle. Ohio State also got a little banged up against Tennessee. The right guard had to miss some time. Right
tackle, ankle sprain.
Right. So there's some questions about, do I think those guys are going to play? 100%. They're offensive linemen. You don't really need an ankle to play offensive line. You'll be okay. You tape that thing up and you go figure it out. That's just how old linemen operate. But that doesn't mean that you're at 100% healthy and that you're going to get tested early in this game, I think. I think that if Oregon is able to get home with just their four D linemen, which I think they will be able to do, you're not going to have to see those exotic blitzes that Oregon has to run at times when they aren't getting home. They can sit back into coverage, which you need to do against this wide receiver group that Ohio State has. So I think the game is going to be won between the offensive line of Ohio State and the D-line of Oregon. And to me, I like that matchup to go Oregon's way.
Yeah, there's a gamble, though, that you are playing if you think you can get home with four, because we saw that with Tennessee, right?
Right.
Tennessee said, we are going to drop coverage. We're not going to double team Emeka Egbuka or Jeremiah Smith. We are going, or Tate. We are going to drop seven into coverage and try to get home with our front four. And all that led to was the run game for Ohio State. And I think this is an advantage for Oregon. You saw what Ohio State's best shot was offensively, what they're most comfortable with, what they feel they need to do to win, because there is no – your back is against the wall, especially after the way that Michigan game went, right? Mm-hmm. And Tennessee's unwillingness for a majority of that game, or until the game got out of hand – to bring more than four is what ended up dooming them. And I think that what you saw from Michigan, that's the blueprint, right? It's bracket Jeremiah Smith, try to take him away, right, with double coverage, bring more than four. And here's where Oregon had a lot of success, and where you have that rotation that you're talking about with the offensive line, it's going to be with, all right, we're going to bring five, but you don't know where they're coming from. Right?
Yeah, they do a good job in that mint defense. Like, as an O-lineman, my worst fear is not having a guy over me. Like, I hate that. I want a guy over me. Even if it's Jordan Burch, I want him in a five technique because I know he's coming. And I know he's going to come into one of these gaps more than likely. What Oregon likes to do when they do bring pressure is they walk their two middle linebackers up into the A gaps, and they walk their two outside backers, and they'll put them on the outside, or some variation of that. They'll bring a lot of their linebackers to the line of scrimmage. And as an offensive lineman, I have to get depth as quick as possible, and then I have to go through my MDM, so my most dangerous man, who am I supposed to take? If I'm left gap responsible, who's going to end up in this left gap? If I'm right gap or man responsible, who's the most dangerous man, and who's the man that I'm leaving to the running back? And that can be extremely difficult. And don't get me wrong. Like I said, I don't think that Oregon will necessarily have to bring a lot of blitz. You can't go a whole game without blitzing. That's just not how this defense works. The one thing that I will say, though, is I think Tennessee, and I think Ohio State kind of showcase this, I think Tennessee thought more highly of their secondary than they should have. Tennessee's secondary didn't get tested at all. Like, if you think about it, the best quarterback that they played was Jalen Milroe throughout the year. You could maybe throw in Carson Beck in there as well. But here's the thing. Jalen Milroe has the wide receivers, but he's banged up. He doesn't look good in that game. He missed a lot of easy throws to a lot of open receivers. When you go against Georgia and Beck made a lot of the throws, but Georgia doesn't have many wide receivers where you're like, oh, geez, that guy scares me. He scares me going deep. He scares me, you know, across the middle. And so what I think, when you look at this Oregon secondary, they've been tested. In fact, they've been tested by this offense. Then you can make the argument they have the best two wide receivers in the country on the same team, right? They have the best tandem, I should say. And so Oregon's going to have to make their adjustments on how they cover these wide receivers, because Kelly's going to have his adjustments to how Oregon covered them the first time. But I think that the secondary can have confidence in the fact that you were able to not stop, because you're not going to stop Egbuka, you're not going to stop Smith, but you can make it more difficult for them to get theirs. And I think Oregon did a great job of that in the secondary the first time they played.
I think that a couple of things that we saw with Penn State especially, and the teams that have had success against Oregon because of that you mentioned, walking up the linebackers, it takes a little bit of time, right? Mm-hmm. They do a lot of disguising of where that pressure is going to come from. Tempo is where offenses have had success against Oregon, because they like to get set, they like to get a lay of the land, and we saw Penn State, they found rhythm when they were running that up-tempo offense. It wore Tyler Warren into the ground, but that's not the heart and soul of this Ohio State team. So that's going to be an interesting one for me. And we know Chip Kelly, he's got the tempo variance in his offense, where he will pull that string back, and he has four different tempos that he'll run that offense at, where he'll go pedal to the metal and then back off of it, and he tries to catch you in mismatches and try to catch you off balance there. I think that you make a good point about Tennessee secondary, because that was one of their concerns heading into the year, was how good their secondary was, and they held up throughout the course of the year. But I also will say that Oregon has been tested dude for dude on the outside, similarly to Tennessee, with, as you mentioned, Alabama's wide receiver core pretty dang good. Oregon, the best quarterback Oregon has seen this year is probably Will Howard, right?
Him or Altmyer, maybe? Like, those are your probably best. Well, no, Aller.
That Drew Aller kind of makes the point, though. Right?
Drew Aller's probably. I would say Aller's the best.
I'd say Will Howard is right. I would give Howard a nod over Aller, but it's close. And to the point being that, you know, Oregon has been tested by this Ohio State team the first time around. They're not going to attack Oregon the same way either.
No.
And that is one thing that Oregon had the advantage of, being at home, watching that first round and saying, all right, this is their best shot. This is what they're most comfortable with. I expect from Ohio State a lot of tempo. They're going to try to lean on the run game and catch Oregon, because that's where Chip is most comfortable with. And then what did that lead to? We saw Jeremiah Smith or Emeka Ebuka or Tate running free down the middle of the field. And I said this after, you know, the first round matchup. It looked like Chip's offense, where you're going, how is that guy wide open? It's because it's the setup to that payoff being that deep shot down the field. That all hinges, though, in what you were talking about with being able to get pressure on Will Howard, because if he has time, he will pick you apart and he will beat you. That's going to be the interesting part about this game defensively. On the offensive side for Oregon, I think we've seen some growth, but there is obviously going to be some questions, because will Ohio State do what they did the first time around? We'll get to that next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.